97.5 here in H-Town, and it is my distinct pleasure to bring in my man, someone I've known for a long time, but I can't ever be too appreciative whenever he takes time out of his schedule to join us on this show, because I know he's got a lot going on. But the one and only, Charles Barkley, joining us right now on the HRNP listener line. Chuckster, always appreciate you spending some time with us. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, my brother. Got through All-Star weekend, which was crazy. Now I got one more week on the NBA, and I go off to March Madness. So my life is a little crazy right now. But, man, this tournament is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it could be worse. I know that you're busy, but it's always in a good way. And I will say this. One of the idiosyncrasies I know about you is if you didn't lose your voice, it wasn't too rough of a weekend. Because normally when you get out and burn the midnight oil, the voice is the first thing to go.
Well, you know what? I figured out I had to quit smoking cigars. I lost my voice like 3 years in a row. So I just quit smoking cigars. I mean, we own a lot All-Star weekend, but the problem I was having was smoking my cigars every night. So no more cigar smoking during the All-Star game weekend.
All right, Chuck, I got to ask you. This is Barry, by the way. So last night during the broadcast, you were killing it, man. I don't know if you know this. I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been a comedian for 5 years now. You had one of the best sets I've seen in a long time.
it was fantastic.
Dude, what I'm really hoping is that you tell me that someone wrote that Liam Neeson joke, because if you just came up with that, I'm quitting comedy, man. That was the best joke. Literally, that is one of the best jokes I have heard or seen in the last 12 months. It was amazing.
Well, number one, I appreciate it. You know, man, you know what? When you're on television, you know, we're on from 8 to 2:30 in the morning. And when crazy stuff happens, it makes my life a lot easier. I mean, it makes my life a lot easier. I mean, this Justice Smollett stuff and this Liam Neeson stuff, it kind of just writes itself. You know, I mean, it does. It kind of just writes itself.
It was beautiful.
I mean, you and Shaq.
Nobody writes it for us, but it just writes itself.
I mean, for the people that missed it, you and Shaq were kidding around about, and obviously the Jussie Smollett stuff was breaking and where he was actually arrested. And you said, if you're going to commit a crime, who writes a check? And if you're Jussie Smollett, why don't you just go to Liam Neeson's neighborhood?
Oh, beautiful.
You know how do you just say, come on, man?
Yep.
First of all, obviously the whole concept is silly and stupid, and you don't know what the guy's thinking, but to leave a write checks to crooks and things like that, you can't make it up.
No, and in this day and age, when you can get an itemized receipt, you know that ski masks and rope and all these different things are on it. That's just kind of a red flag.
Yeah, we were talking last night. Where are you going to buy that stuff at? Do you have to go to like 3 or 4 different stores? Can you get them all at the same place?
Evidently, with a little research, you can get a lot of things done at the one-stop shop.
But the whole situation, man, you've got to laugh. And, you know, obviously everything's going to come out in the wash. And you just got to say to yourself, man, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, man, I want to get into this a little bit because I know that you have had a lot of relationships over the course of your playing career with referees, and obviously the Scott Foster thing came up with the game you guys had with the Rockets and the Lakers last night. Chris Paul's had a history there, but I go down the long list. You knew Madden, you knew Mathis, you knew even back to the Earl Strom days, but you knew all those guys that had a little bit of a reputation, but you also had relationships with those guys. What are you making of all this with the Rockets and the referees and the whole Scott Foster thing?
Well, first of all, I got to let I don't know about that particular scenario, but I will say this. I had a really bad relationship with a guy named Mike Mathis.
Yep.
And he threw me out of like 5 or 6 games in a row. First of all, I said something to him that I should have said, and he would never let it go. I mean, sometimes the thing get heated, but some of these guys carry grudges. And it got so bad with Mike Mathis, I asked for a meeting with him and the commissioner.
Wow.
That's how bad it got. Because I couldn't play. Anytime I saw him, I knew I was going to get tossed. If I complained or did any gestures, he tossed me. So it got so bad, I asked commissioner to sit us in a room, and clearly the ref is going to deny it. But I thought he had a grudge against me. And to this day, I still believe he had a grudge against me.
Charles, I got to know. I mean, if you're going to say it, what did, can you share with us what you said? Because I got to know what something like that would be to hold a grudge that long.
Oh, I said something about his mama.
Well, okay. Fair enough.
Well, because, you know, Rockets fans remember that, you know, Jake O'Donnell had it out for Clyde, and then it was in the series against you guys in Phoenix, and he got it was real early, and he got tossed, and it was a big deal, and Jake O'Donnell not only didn't do a Rockets game ever again, he didn't do another game in the NBA.
Well, like I say, that's a really tough call, because only, like I say, I don't pay attention to the Rockets in that particular who do their games. But I guess James and Chris, if they have a legit gripe, the NBA has to look into it. Like I say, I don't know about that particular situation. But there are refs. I mean, obviously Clyde is probably one of the most well-known. I think the Tim Duncan, I forget the memory official, he threw him out for just looking at him.
That was Joey Crawford, yep.
Yeah, so there are officials who hold grudges. So the NBA, they got to at least take James and Chris criticism into account, plain and simple.
Well, I will tell you, Charles, Chris Paul came out and said that he has met with the league and Scott Foster together in a room similar to what you did. That's why he's like, I don't know what else to do. Now, as far as James Harden goes, he was talking about recently being criticized and how he's taking some criticism from well-known players that are out of the game, that it's their job to give commentary on guys like him. And he said that that probably hurts more than just the average fan. Did you ever experience anything like that where you had guys that kind of criticized your game and what you did that were no longer in the game? And did that bother you more than anything else?
Well, I think the criticism he's talking about is from Kobe Bryant. And, listen, Kobe can say what he wants to. You have to ask yourself if he has a valid point. Secondly, I really was glad that James didn't respond negatively, because that just would have kept the fire burning and threw more gasoline on it. You just have to ask yourself, is what Kobe said a fair criticism? Probably, Kobe is probably one of the few people who has been as great offensively as James. You know, you look at Michael Jordan, guys who are just devastating scores. I said last year, I think James is the greatest offensive player during this generation. I think he's the most unguardable player we have in the NBA. The question is, can you win playing like he plays? I think that's a fair criticism. And he's going to have to live with that criticism until the Rockets win. That's just it. I tell people, it ain't right, it ain't wrong. That's just how it is, plain and simple.
And to be fair, Chuck, because, you know, Pippen said some things and Steven Jackson otherwise. But the thing on the Kobe point, which I've made the point several times here in the city, is it's so totally different in the playoffs than the regular season. And what Kobe said is it's not going to win a championship. And you know as well as I do, when it's a 7-game series and you have enough time to prepare and one guy is dribbling it for 19 seconds at the top of the key, that's a pretty easy defensive game plan to put together.
No question. And it puts James in a situation where it's either hit or miss. If he has a bad shooting night, that's going to be the series. Listen, James is a hell of a player. Like I say, I think he's the most unguardable guy we got in the league today. But, man, the jury's still going to be out the way he plays until they win the championship. And if they don't win, he's going to get criticized for the way he plays. Like I say, that's just how it is, plain and simple.
And take it a step further, Chuck, because here's the other thing. How Barry and I have talked about this on this show. For the other four guys on the court with him, when they're playing that style, how difficult is that? Because you stand around and have to watch, and then all of a sudden, if he gets doubled and he's got to get a bailout and he throws it to you, the guys look like they have no clue.
Well, you know, I've said I would not want to play with James. As great a player as he is, it wouldn't be fun just standing around. Because I think it's hard for other guys to get in the rhythm. You know, when they went in that game last year, when they missed 30 straight threes, you have to say to yourself, you know, you can't really get in the rhythm. When they throw you the ball, you got to jack up a three. And that to me would not be a fun way to play. I know they really believe in analytics. And listen, Analytics worked for the Golden State Warriors because they got Clay, Steph, and Kevin. It don't work for anybody else. That's why that team, you know, if Draymond's not out there kicking people, they probably win. They would have won the last four championships. Because, you know, Clay and Steph and KD, they're not – they're the great three of the greatest shooters who ever lived.
But wait a minute. If Chris Paul doesn't pull a hamstring, you still believe that? If Chris Paul doesn't pull a hamstring, you still believe that?
Yeah, I still think – I mean, I think it was a hell of a series. But I think it's going to be tough to beat those guys, especially now when they got DeMarcus Cousins. But, you know – the Rockets, I think the Rockets, if KD hadn't went to Golden State, and the Rockets, Daryl Morey, and those guys did a fabulous job. They probably would have won probably the last two championships, to be honest with you. But, you know, KD made them pretty much unbeatable. The Rockets have come the closest. But those guys, man, they're going to be tough to beat again this year.
Now, so speaking of the playoffs, you mentioned last night, I'm curious, this is a two-part question. One, you mentioned that at halftime you didn't think the Lakers would make the playoffs, and I happen to agree with you. I'm curious if you changed your mind at all after the second half and seeing what they were capable of. And two, what do you think the Rockets' chances are and where you think they'll slot in the playoffs as far as seeds go?
Well, I don't think the Lakers won that game last night. I think the Rockets lost that game. I think I said that on the air. You know, James had, I think, 8 turnovers, and I think he was 11 for 25. I thought they self-destructed in the second half. I don't think the Lakers won that game. I mean, when they had them, I think they had the biggest lead was 19. Mm-hmm. The Rockets lost that game. The Lakers didn't win it. But the Lakers have probably the toughest schedule remaining. I think the wear and tear is going to catch up with LeBron because that team is not good. He's going to have to play 20-plus minutes a night for the next 25 games. I think that's going to be very difficult. You got 3 easy games in the West: Phoenix, New Orleans, and maybe Memphis. But Memphis plays very hard. But every other team out there, they're probably better than the Lakers. The Lakers are not better than the Warriors. They're not better than Denver. They're not better than OKC. They're not better than Portland. The Spurs is probably a toss-up. Minnesota is probably a toss-up. And let me tell you something. What the Portland Trailblazers did was going out getting Cantor and Rodney Hood. I'm not sure they aren't the second-best team in the West.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you got Oklahoma City, who at least got better because they got depth that they didn't have a year ago. And Paul George is having an MVP-like season.
He is. You know, Giannis is the MVP, in my opinion. Paul George is second, and James is third. But the Lakers aren't better than any of those teams I mentioned. And what's going to be difficult for the Rockets, any of those teams I just mentioned, can James do what he's doing for 12 games? I don't think he can, because every round in the West is going to be a dogfight.
You're saying 12 games because they got to win two series.
Well, I'm saying, can he win 3 series? I don't think he can do that. I think that's too much to ask of one guy. Because what seed are you guys right now?
Well, they fell because of the loss last night to where I think they were fifth going in, or they were fourth going in, but they were one game out of the 8th spot after losing last night.
Well, so clearly the Rockets. Let's forget about Golden State, but we can make 6 or 7. They're gonna play Denver, Oklahoma City,
Utah,
Portland. Utah, like they. That's what I say. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Rockets, for James, to win 12 games to get to the finals. I don't know if you can play. I don't know if it's physically possible to get 35, play 40 minutes a night for 3 straight rounds. I just think that's too much of anybody to ask for.
Now, you moved him to third in the MVP race, as you just said, where do you, I mean, this streak has obviously been amazing, and he's had to do it because he's had to shoulder the load with all the injuries. But in terms of its impact on the votes, because we saw that when these streaks are picked up by the media, Russ, you know, Russ and his triple-double streak ran the table because it didn't matter what the team did. You're saying not the same case this year with James and the streak that he's got going?
Well, Joel, on the streak meter, it's great what James is doing, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm always consistent. I always reward the guys who got the better record. The caveat was Russ, and he averaged a triple-double because we had never seen that before since Oscar. But and the Rockets didn't win. Like last year, James was a runaway MVP. But this year, they're a bottom seed.
Yeah.
But Giannis, they've got the best record in the NBA. And you look at Paul George, Oklahoma City's, they're third, and he's playing in a much better conference. So I reward those guys. But James is probably, you know, he's third in my opinion. But I was going to say, this is just my opinion. I don't get a vote. Ernest is the only person on our show that gets a vote. But I would have James third, as great as he's playing.
I heard you mention you mentioned the Bucks and Giannis. How do you see the East shaping up? I mean, you've mentioned the Sixers in the past, and you liked what they did at the trade deadline. Who's coming out of the East?
That's the hardest question I've been asked in the last 3 weeks. I have no idea. I'm not, you know, I hate when these guys get on TV and act like he knows. Like, I make a case for all four of those teams. If you put my feet to the fire, if Joel Embiid's healthy, I might go with the Sixers. I love what the Sixers did at the trade deadline. I love what they did. But also, I love what Toronto did, going out getting Marc Gasol.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee getting Mirotić. So everybody got better except the Celtics. But the Celtics probably from 1 to 10 has the most talent, to be honest with you. But like I say, I don't know. That's going to be crazy. That's going to be crazy, the Eastern Conference Finals. The semifinals, because we clearly think it's going to be those four teams going to meet in the second round of the playoffs, and they're going to be awesome to watch.
Yes, they are.
Well, I noticed you didn't mention Milwaukee in the top three. Do you think Giannis wins
come
out of the
Milwaukee,
East?
I said they got Mirotić. They got better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Plus, like you love Milwaukee because of me and Don Nelson and the piggy bank back in the day. Come on, man.
Hey man, listen. I know you. You got to get your boy Aaron Rodgers some help, man. And he's just starting to turn on him a little bit.
You know, I know that because you always give me grief about anything that they do, you right or wrong. But they'll get it straight. I just hope this coach is the real deal. Look,
Aaron. To me, you know, I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's right there with Tom Brady. But you can see now how this thing works. You see the media starting to turn on Aaron.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing how it works. I wish the fans would pay attention. Like, hey, we love you. Oh, you want a Super Bowl? Okay, you're good now. Then, like, X amount of years later, maybe you're overrated or you're not that good. That guy's incredible. But that's just the way this media thing works.
And you know I'm honest with you and others. And I've said, look, if you go through a quarter century with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and you only get two Super Bowl titles, you have underachieved to a just way too high of a level. And that's on the organization.
Well, the thing is, when I look at the Packers, you ask yourself, how many household names? One of the reasons Tom Brady is the greatest football player ever, not just the greatest quarterback. And let me tell you this. I think Tom Brady, I put him ahead of Michael Jordan right now.
Wow.
And I never thought I would say that, because to get to 9 Super Bowls got to be the greatest sports accomplishment. You know, Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player ever.
Agreed.
But you know, when you got the greatest player, you're going to win 4 out of 7 games. Mm-hmm. But to make it to 9 Super Bowls,
yeah,
win 6 in a one-and-done scenario, I never thought I'd say somebody as great as Michael Jordan, but I think Tom Brady has passed Michael Jordan. To get to 9 Super Bowls in a one-and-done scenario and win six got to be the greatest accomplishment in sports. I truly believe that.
And you know what? You also think he's darn handsome, because I saw the interview that you did on late night television. So you were mesmerized by his good looks, and I was shocked about that.
Well, you know, me and Coach Belichick been friends for a long time. And he, because I met him when he was coaching the Browns. So I went out to practice when they were in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. So I'm talking to Bill, and then Rob, who I met before a few times, and I met Tom a few times. And he came over and started talking to me, and I looked him in the eyes, and I'm like, damn, that's a pretty man. Joel, I had to start turning my head to talk to him. I can't look at this dude in the eyes, man.
That's funny.
Chuck, please tell me you've not been hanging out with Robert Kraft lately.
Ooh, boy.
Please come on, tell me. Chuck, $59.99 for a girl? Please, he's making almost $6 billion.
Please tell me you hadn't been hanging out with him.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. You know how I get these alerts on my phone?
Yes.
I was laying in bed this morning, and I'm like, oh, what's this? Something happened in the NBA. Somebody not playing. Somebody hurt, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's man. And they say they got it on the payment.
Yes.
And the act on tape.
That's what we've heard.
Hey, let me tell you something. How long do you think TMZ been on the phone this morning bidding for that bad boy?
No doubt. Their phone bills are unlimited right now.
What's sad is TMZ is going to pay more for that video than Robert Kraft would have paid for the act. That's terrible.
Man, this is that's bad, man. That's the only way I can say that's a bad situation.
Brother, you know what? I've always said this. You've treated us like gold. We lived the show Entourage before there was a show Entourage, and you've done so much in your life, but I always like to get you away from sports a little bit, too. I mean, you've done so much. I heard you say the other night you've never been to Greece. Are there any things on the bucket list of Charles Barkley that you still want to do that you haven't yet done?
Oh, yeah. I want to meet Eminem. I want to meet Mahershala Ali. You know, I love meeting people who are successful, but I never met Eminem. That's on my bucket list. Same thing with Mahershala Ali. I went to the Army Navy game last year. That was on my bucket list. It was one of the greatest things of my life going to that game. I did last year. I was so excited. I've always wanted to go, but I've never been. I think I'm going to go to the Masters this year for the first time.
They're going
to
let you in?
I've never been. but stuff like that, Joel. Listen, man, I've had such an amazing life.
Yep.
I've exceeded. I grew up in the country, in a small town. And to be, I had my birthday a couple days ago, turning 56.
Yep, happy birthday. Amazing, I meant to
I've
say
had
that.
An amazing life, brother.
I meant to say that because I know you gamble with that number too, and I knew it. And I meant to say happy birthday right off the top, but happy birthday belated.
Thank you, brother.
And I know your love of golf, and so I would love to see you get to the Masters, because I know that whole Hootie thing back in the day got blown out. But man, that would be something to see you walk the grounds, because that's an amazing place.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do it at some point. It's right after the Final Four this year and a week before the NBA playoffs start. Normally, I go on vacation that week and just play golf every day because, you know, Dick, once the playoffs start, we work every day for two months.
Yep.
So I just, and listen, I got a bad feeling if I go to the Masters, it's going to be some drinking every night, all night.
And some cigar smoke so you lose your voice. Can't do that.
Oh, no question there's going to be some cigar smoking. But like I said, I don't want to start the playoffs all tired and with a bad voice because it's a long 2 months.
Well, you know I love you, man, and I really appreciate this more than you know. But be safe, and again, keep entertaining us, because between the college and the pro game, it's a pleasure even when the game's a dog to watch you guys on the air.
Well, man, listen, we've been boys for a long time. I miss Chase, Bull, Brett, and you. And I love you, brothers, man. And Houston, I got nothing love for Houston. They treated me great. Even though I couldn't play well for them my last couple of years, they always treated me great. I'll always appreciate Rudy Tomjanovich and Carol Dawson and Robert Barr and all those guys.
Chuck, Rudy should be in the hall, shouldn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, that's bothered me to this day, but you know because you played for him. Man, I appreciate you, brother.
He's the best guy, man. I love that dude.
No, I know you do. So when you need a golf partner, call us. We're ready for you.
All right, my brother. Hey, y'all guys have a great weekend, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chuck.
Appreciate you, Chuck.
You do the same. There you go, Charles Barkley.